inspired about what God has called us to do. It's not a drudgery to be a preacher, is it? It's only as bad as we make it. And I was inspired too, Brother Jason. I was like, I want to be excited about what God has called me to, and I want you to be excited this morning. Wherever God has called you to in life, that your little child can say, Daddy, when I grow up, I want to go to church. Daddy, I want to be like you. I want to teach Sunday school. I want to be a song leader. It's just amazing how our influence can rub off on each other. We sang a song about that. I don't know if you thought about that. It said, I'm excited about the name I learned to know. My heart is stirred whene'er I think of Jesus, that blessed name which sets the captive free, the only name through which I found salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me. Do you still have that kind of enthusiasm with you this morning? That the name of Jesus, you're like, yes, he did something for me. I want to tell other people. The sermon's title this morning is Excited About the Great Physician. I was really inspired about Brother Henry's devotional. And it really, that enthusiasm is what sparked this sermon. Of just being enthused about what Jesus has done for you and me. Excited about the great physician. Brother Henry shared this story. I'm assuming it's a true story. That a long time ago, people used to drive and ride trains to go where they needed to go. Of course, nowadays we just jump in our car. But let's say 100 years ago, I don't know what the year was. There was a group of people in a train headed down through the hot South, and it was hot. And when you're cooped up in a train and you're sweating and it's just hot, it's miserable, and I'm sure it was dusty, and you just can't get away from this train. They were going to their destination. Everything was going good, but it was just hot, and people were miserable. And when you're hot and you're miserable, you just can't get away from it. You have the windows down. I'm sure there was an old dry air blowing through there, but there was one man that was sitting there in that train car, and he was staring intently out the window, and he was looking. And it looked like he was looking for something. I mean, he was intent. And all of a sudden he'd go, that's awesome. And driving along and going down, and all of a sudden he'd go, amazing. After a bit, magnificent. And they're looking out the window, and like, what is he looking at? And this continued for a bit. This man just looking and just all of a sudden, amazing. Finally, somebody, curiosity got the best of him, went up and said, sir, can you explain what you're seeing? I mean, we've been looking. We sure don't see anything amazing. And this man said, well, you need to understand that a few years ago I was blind. But this past week, I saw a great physician which healed my eyes. And now I can see. And he's looking out the train windows and he's looking at the trees. Amazing. He's looking at the lakes, the water. Magnificent. His heart was thrilled with the great physician. Is your heart still thrilled because there was a great physician that took the scales off your eyes? All of us were blind. All of us were blinded by sin. All of us were, life wasn't worth living until we met the great physician. Are you still excited this morning? Turn with me to John 5. I want to look at a miracle of Jesus this morning. This is one of Jesus' early miracles. This is his third miracle. And here is the great physician doing a wonderful thing. And I want to look at this story this morning, and I want to pull. It's going to be a very simple sermon. Hopefully you children can follow along. John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that hath made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And it goes on and Jesus begins to talk. But I want to look specifically at this account, a simple account, an account of Jesus doing a miracle. It's always intriguing to me. And so I just want to look at the characters of this story. I just want to spend our time right here. I just want to look at the people that's in this story. I want to look at Jesus. We want to talk about, so let's just think about this scenario just a little bit. You know, in my mind, I always pictured this little pool of Bethesda, just a little pool. Just one, like a swimming pool, 20 foot around, 24 foot swimming pool, you got about 10 people sitting around. That was not the case. The pool of Bethesda, it says it was having five porches. And of course, I haven't been there to see it. But I was looking online and trying to do research, and this was a big, huge pool. Approximately 165 feet wide and 315 feet long. And this is a real place. This is something that has been re-excavated. They have found this place, and they have, historically, it fits right into this account. This has been, what's the word? Not exposed, but they're still uncovering this thing so that they can actually get the actual measurements to it. So it's a huge pond. I went online this morning and measured this church, and if those were accurate, this church is about 100 feet long and 65 feet wide. It takes seven of these churches in this pool of Bethesda if you do the square footage. Now you're getting the idea this was a huge area. They had porches surrounding this lake. It was a huge water reservoir, apparently. Had some steps going down into it. And on the porches, and from the pictures I've seen of the grandeur of big archways, big pillars, probably shady areas to lay on. But it'd be almost like going into an old people's home, wouldn't it? I mean, you have people that are old, you have people with infirmities, people that can't care for themselves, and they're just laying there waiting, desperately waiting to be healed. I just try to picture that in my mind of how many people might have been laying around the edges of this pool, laying on their cots. Children, did you catch it? How long this man was sick? Somebody know that answer? We read it. How long was this man sick? Raise your hand high. Well, let's see what verse is it in. Verse 5, this certain man was there which had an infirmity, how many years? Donnie. 38. 38 years. Just laying there on that pool. It was beautiful, I'm sure, but that's a long time just to lay there in one spot. 38 years. This man was disabled. Couldn't do anything for himself. This word said he was this impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, sick people. People that were incapable of caring for themselves. They couldn't move. Yeah, they call this verse 7, the impotent man. And the Greek word is just a sick man, unable to care. And so I don't know if he was a young man one day in his prime. Maybe he was 18 years old doing something strong, and all of a sudden he had an accident and he became a cripple. Don't know. Maybe he was born a crippled. Don't know. Why wasn't his parents with him? Surely. I mean, he had a parents. Maybe he was an old man. Maybe he was 60 and 70 years old. I just never really pictured him being that old. But he was just laying here. He was disabled. He was desolate. He was lonely. Nobody to care for him. He was destitute. Poor. Haven't worked for 38 years. It doesn't say that his uncle was sitting there with him. It doesn't say that his mom was there with him. It doesn't say his dad. This man was alone. What a terrible, lonely scene. The only people around him was just the other destitute people. He probably had a little cot. He probably had a blanket. Possibly had a little pot that he would hope that you'd put some money in for him. And he laid there, hoping that someday he would be lucky enough to be the one to get down into that water and be healed. He was a man that was discouraged. You know, you would get your hopes up and say, you know what? If I do, you know, I'll plan this out. I'm going to get myself located just right. The scripture says that an angel would come down and stir this water. Numerous people try to say that didn't happen, and it's people's imagination. But I'm going to take scripture what it says. It says an angel came down and would stir the water. They wouldn't see the angel. All of a sudden, the water's moving. And so maybe they're by half daydreaming. You're laying there for 30 years, and all of a sudden, hey, the water's moving. Well, I'm half sleeping. I'm not with it. So I took quick. Well, everybody else is saying quick, too. Quick, get your shoes on. Quick, get yourself. Quick, drag yourself to the water's edge. I mean, I guess the first person to get their hand in it. I don't know. Maybe they had to go the whole way down in. And he's trying. And here comes somebody just a little better shape than him. Or maybe they had friends and family that just happened to be there. And they grab hold of him and they beat him to it. I missed it. I just can't imagine. Just imagine. Just thinking I'm going to make it. And I lost. And I'm an old crippled. I'm still laying there. I'm still sick. I still got my health problems. He was disappointed. He was a discouraged man. Shattered dreams. Just year after year of trying. And it didn't work out. That's this man that we're talking about. We don't have a name for him. We just call him the lame man. What about the multitudes around him? I mean, all the other folk. Lay a great multitude, verse 3, of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. What a group of people to hang out with. And you know what? It's a picture of mankind without Christ. People that just can't help themselves. People that are just, they're lonely, they're destitute, they need focus, they need something. They haven't heard about the name. They haven't heard about the great physician. Or if they did, they just don't know how to experience it. And they're like, if only somebody would help me. If only I had friends. If only. And that's the way they're living their life. Lonely. Multitudes around them are pitiful to behold. It's a picture of us without Christ. Ephesians 2:12 says that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope. Mankind is just like this multitude, no hope. Just wishing life would be different, no hope. And they're still there. They're still laying there waiting, just waiting for that supernatural event. And then there was a group of people that were going to a feast. Verse 1 says, "Now after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." Now there is at Jerusalem. And so you had a whole group of people that were going to this feast. And they were just busy going with their life. They were just taking health for granted. Brother Arlen talked about that in devotions, how a man is just thankful for the breath of life. How many of us got up this morning and said, "Thank you, Lord, that I can breathe. I thank the Lord that I was able to sleep and I was able to see another day." But we just take breath for granted. And in this story, they were the same way. They were just going. They had places to go, people to see, things to do. And they were just doing their life. They were walking past these lame men, these people that needed help. They weren't even seeing them. They had a place to go. Those people would stay there. And then there's a group of people that we can assume that they were sick, they were, bones were broke and twisted and achy, and they got into the water and they got healed. There was a few people that apparently experienced healing power. Scripture don't talk about them. I wonder what happened to them. Did they come back to help their friends? Was there any gratitude in their life that I got into the water and I'm healed? Praise the Lord. I just couldn't. What happened to them? Where were they at? How many times a year did this happen? But apparently there was a group of people that got healed. All right, talked about the man, we talked about the multitude. Let's talk about Jesus. Here comes Jesus, this great physician. This great physician. And he comes walking, he had places to go. And he comes walking into this porch, and he had a heart of compassion. And he begins to look at all the destitute, the needy people. And he cared about them. He cared. He saw them. He saw their problems, and he singled out this man. I don't know if that man was the longest there. 38 years is an awful long time to be at one place, just wishing, just hoping. Maybe, I don't know what drew Jesus' attention to that man, but Jesus saw him, and Jesus cared. I think Jesus went out of his way and walked over to that man and began to have a conversation with him. That's the way Jesus operated. He always took time for people. He always took time to meet people's needs. He cared about what that man was going through. You think about the stories of Jesus, I mean, feeding the 5,000, taking care of time because people were hungry. Everywhere Jesus went, he would heal the sick. Right before that, the second miracle was, or was it the first, of Jesus making the wine because they ran out of wine at the wedding. He cared about people's problems. And so now we have a problem. And I wondered, why didn't Jesus just heal all of them people? Take his hand and say, "Healed." And have 100 people get up off the ground. Why did he single out just one? I don't have the answer to that. But Jesus cares about what people are going through. Turn with me to number 470 in your hymn books. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care about me? Does Jesus care when I'm blind and I can't see? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained, too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. This man just sat there day after day, and I'm sure he was telling himself, nobody cares. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He does care. That is Jesus. He is the the one that has done so much for me. He's the one that has given you new life. He's the one that gave this man in this story new life. Let's sing these two verses.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, as the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
It's a very special song. Jesus does care. And Jesus cared about this man and his needs, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares about my problems. He cares about my sickness. He cares about my stress. He cares about my fears. He cares about everything. Not only does he care, but he knows. He knows exactly what you're going through. He walked up there onto that porch and he knew. He knew that this man was sick. He knew this man was there for 38 years. No one come up and told Jesus and said, you know that man over there? He's been laying there for 30. No. Jesus knew it. Jesus knows everything you're experiencing right now, your frustrations, your grief. Whatever you need, Jesus knows about it. That's comforting. That should not be scary. It's scary if we don't want Jesus to know. But Jesus knows about it. He knew this man was a cripple. He knew this man couldn't walk. He knew this man was unable to get up out of his bed. He knew this man's thoughts. He knew everything. And he looks at this man and he says, you want to get better? Wilt thou be whole? What kind of a crazy question? Of course. That'd be like out in a freezing out in the freezing mountain and someone says, are you cold? You want a coat? What? I'm cold, of course. Or if you're out in the desert and you're thirsty with no water, you say, you want a drink of water? It's like, Jesus. But it made the man think, right? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole? Or do you just like the way you're lying there? And what was this man's answer? You would think he would have said, yes! I've wanted so bad for so many years. Yes, I want to be different. But no, what's he say? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. I don't have any family. When the water's troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, everybody beats me to it. Poor me. Life's rough. Life's dealt me a bad blow. I really don't have any chance of getting better. I really wish I could better myself, but I can't. That's really what he was saying. And you know what? Why didn't Jesus just say, well, poor you, and just walk on? The man didn't even look at him and say, would you help me? He just said, I don't have anybody to help me. And Jesus just looked at him and said, what did he say? Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. I was going to just label the title of the sermon that. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. 38 years of laying there on the ground. 38 years of wishing I could be healed. 38 years of just shattered dreams. I don't even have a clue who this man is. And he just looks down at me and says, get up. Pick up your bed and walk. And the man did it. I think I would say, well, I can't walk. You're going to have to help me. I can't even get up off this bed. But apparently he felt the strength in his body change. Apparently he knew he was healed. Excitement in that great physician. I'm sure he thought back many a times to when that man said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And that feeling that surged through him. Think back to my story of the man that was blind and he had a cataract removed. And now I can see. I met the great physician. And being able to see again. Jesus had something so much better. This man was basically saying, if you can just help me get to the water's edge, possibly I could be healed. And Jesus said, I've got another plan for you. I've got a better plan for you. And he is, so many times we have our own agenda. I mean, this man didn't say, Lord, would you help me? He just said, would you just, you know, if you can help me get to the water, get to the edge, possibly I could be healed. Jesus had something so much better for him, and he didn't know it. He couldn't even comprehend it. And I see that in our lives, that Jesus has something so much better for us so many times, and yet we're stuck in our own way. For 38 years, this is how I've lived my life. For 38 years, I don't walk. For 38 years, I lay here and I let other people feed me. And when Jesus all of a sudden says, do you want your life changed? We're forced with a decision. And so many times, I say, but Jesus, I don't walk. But Jesus, I'm lame. But Jesus, I don't have no money. That's my life. That's just the way I am. Don't you know that, Lord? And Jesus just says, pick up your bed. Move on with life. Jesus can deal with the most severe problems of life. We're all cripples this morning. We're all cripples. We're all lame. We're all destitute. We're all destitute by sin. We're all destitute. We're all lame with life's problems. We're all crippled by past hurts. We're crippled by addictions. We're crippled by hidden sin. And that question is still coming from Jesus this morning to each one of us. Do you want healed? Do you want rid of that old past lifestyle? It's a choice. That man didn't have to get up and walk. He could have just kept on laying there. We are in the presence of the great physician. Everyone else around him. I'm thinking about this physical scene when Jesus walked up here to this pool of Bethesda and healed this man. Why did another young person call out and say, Lord, save me. Lord, I want healed. Lord, would you heal my legs? Would you heal my eyesight? Sir, scripture doesn't require, it doesn't talk about that. But we're in the presence of the great physician this morning. Are we crying out and saying, Lord, we need you. We need your presence with us this morning. Or am I just kind of sitting there on my little mat saying I've been here for 38 years and I guess I'm just going to keep on sitting here. We need to allow Jesus to make us whole, or things are not going to change. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We have no good, nothing of ourselves can we save ourselves. We are as destitute as that lame man, but through the grace of God. Jesus poured out grace into that man's life. He gave him a gift that that man didn't deserve. Jesus has given every one of us this morning grace that is available if we accept it. We don't have to accept it. We don't have to say, Lord, save me. We can keep laying on our mat and living a life of defeat. But grace is available. Grace is available for past failures. I'm sure this man had a past that maybe he wanted to forget. I'm sure this man had some sinful habits. And we all do. The question still is here. Wilt thou be made whole? Will you allow Jesus to make our life whole this morning? And what was this man's response, the crippled man's response? We already looked at that, didn't we? He didn't even answer the question. He just went on to make an excuse. And so many times people make excuses. Jesus says, do you want me to be healed from your... Jesus is asking, do you want to be healed from your past hurts? And our response is, but Lord, you don't know how bad I've been hurt. Jesus says, do you want to be free from your past sins? And we say, but nobody knows. And if I confess, I'm going to ruin my family's reputation. And we continue to sit there in defeat. Jesus says, do you want to overcome your addictions? And we make the excuse, but it's just a disease. It's not my fault. Jesus asks, do you want to give your life to me? Would you like to experience the cleansing power of a great physician? Would you like to be made whole? Would you like to be free from the bondage of sin? What is our excuse? Why wouldn't we say, yes, Lord, I want to give my life to you? Do you want to be healed? And we don't have this man jumping up and down. We don't have this man performing like the man in Acts, the lame man that the Lord healed. It's probably one of my favorite stories of a man that just was leaping and jumping because he was so excited. Here was a man that God performed a wonderful work on. And it seemed like he just wasn't sure about it. He had new life. He experienced the great physician. And how many of us act like that man? The great physician has healed us, has given us new life, has given us new perspective of life. And we say, wow, that's nice. Yes, I really appreciate that great physician. Who healed you? I really don't even know. There was a man that came along and he said, take up your bed and walk. I just did it. I can walk today, so I'm really grateful. Do you have a testimony on your lips of the great physician, the man that cleansed you from your sin, the man that gave you another chance at life? You could still be laying there, destitute, lame, broken. Romans 8:1. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It's something to be jubilant about. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What was the result of this man? Well, he had a changed life, didn't he? He got up off the ground and he began to walk. And he began to walk a new man. It changed his life. He was no more the same. And when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ, our lives are different. We're changed. Could that man go back and lay back down on his cot? He sure could. That's why Jesus said, pick up your cot. Pick up your bed. Take it with you. Your old life is gone. You're not going back and going to lay down on that old stinky mat. It might feel like home. It might feel like the way you've always done things, but I have a new way for you. I want you to go out and serve me. I want you to be excited about who I am. And I don't know the rest of this man's story. Maybe he became a powerful source of energy in Jesus with the disciples. We do have Jesus coming to him and saying, there you are. You're a new man. You're healed. And then he says, live a new life. Don't live in sin, lest a worse thing happen to you. And I believe it's Jesus' words today to us as godly people, as Christian people, as people that have met the great physician. Don't fall back into your old ways. Don't keep sinning. Don't allow the old past to drag us down. Because I wonder if this man began to walk around and say, you know what, I just kind of liked it back then. I didn't have to work. People would give me money. People actually gave me food. Maybe I'll just take my cot back there and I'll lay back down and act sick for a few days. And be horrible. Why would men think that way? And yet, people do that very thing today. They go back to the old sin, the old ways of living. They go back to the past when Jesus is saying, I give you new life. I am the great physician. I will do marvelous things for you. I care about you. Trust me. Again, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. All of us have a wonderful gift, the gift of salvation that has been given to us. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. There is nothing you can do to earn your salvation. The only way you can earn your salvation is to say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I give my life to you. Lord, I want to be healed from sin. Lord, I want to live in eternity with you. And as our Sunday school lesson, we talked about heaven. There's only one way we're going to get there, and that is if we allow that great physician to touch our lives. Wilt thou be made whole? The answer is yes. I want to be whole, that I can live eternally with him in eternity. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.